morning, TNC family, on this second Sunday in October, where today, here, we're starting a three-part series called That's Not Me. That's Not Me. Like, if you invite me to go bungee jumping, skydiving, or on a 10-day backpacking trip into the mountains, I'll take a pass, because that's not really me. Or, hey David, want to spend $20 on a ticket to go to a haunted house? No, that's not really my thing, not really me. Now, I will spend $100 on a ticket to see the Braves play in the World Series. Yeah, that is me. Or, if I'm at a restaurant eating and the server brings a dessert to my table and puts in front of me a piece of pecan pie, you can be certain, wrong table. I did not order pecan pie. That is not me. But the pumpkin pie with whipped cream, yeah, I ordered that. That's me. And of course, this idea extends beyond what I want to do or eat. It goes to the kind of person I identify myself as. So in the realm of sports, I am a Brave, or I'm a Yankee, or I'm a Patriot. And in the realm of politics, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm an Independent. And some folks self-identify as their profession. I'm a scientist, I'm a teacher, I'm a pilot, a paralegal, a plumber. Sometimes people will frame this in tandem with its opposite. I am not an extrovert, I'm an introvert. I'm not a pacifist, I'm a fighter. I'm not a hater, I'm a lover. I'm not a dreamer, I'm a realist. And so now for this series, TNC, I want to move into the realm of spirituality and our relationship with meaning and purpose and God. And I want to talk for 3 weeks about three huge dispositions or identities from which we can live our lives. And you can check out the whole series on the website, but today I want to talk to you about why I am not an atheist. Why I do not live my life from the disposition and with the mindset that there is no God. Atheist? That's not me. Because I'm a theist, which means I should probably quickly explain what I mean by those two terms, atheism and theism. By atheism, what I mean is some version of materialism or naturalism, the doctrine that there is nothing apart from the physical order. And then by theism, I mean belief in one infinite source of all that is, eternal, omniscient, omnipresent, uncreated, uncaused, perfectly transcending, all-loving. I mean something that would be consistent with the teachings of Orthodox Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Sikhism, Hinduism, Baha'i, and so on. I mean, in the words of the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 17, the source from which we live and move and have our being. And that's the extent of what I mean for today when I speak of God. And let me just say a few other preliminary words before I give you five reasons why I'm not an atheist. That's not me. First, well, what I'm about to say is rooted in a lot of reading, thinking, conversations, and study. This is not intended to be like a graduate level academic argument. Today is about just pointing us in the right direction on the solid basis of the scriptures and science so we can have further conversations. And let me also assure you, in case you're assuming, this is not going to be a podcast where a God believer bashes the atheist position on things. And I am not here to change anyone's mind. This isn't so you can share it with a friend. In fact, I love, admire, and respect atheists, partly because the atheists I know actually love science like I do, and they love the natural world like I do, and they love humility and thinking through things like I do. And also, I like atheists because they often reject the obvious hypocrisies, dishonesties, and silly literal interpretations of like numbers, symbols, and metaphors in most of the world's religions. They reject like God turning people into pillars of sodium chloride, or Muhammad riding a winged horse back and forth to Jerusalem, or the reincarnation of bad humans into cockroaches, things like that. They also don't buy into the kind of behavior that led to the Crusades and the Spanish Inquisition and burning witches at the stake and crashing planes into buildings in the name of Allah. They also reject some of the toxically male notions of God and the way God is often portrayed as being obsessed with people bowing down and worshiping him, or else sending those who don't to the limestone pit of fiery hell for all eternity. And I actually enjoy very much reading many of the writings of atheists, and I listen regularly to famous atheist Sam Harris's popular podcast, Making Sense. But I'm not an atheist, and here are five reasons why. Number one, I'm not an atheist because science points to God. Remember the convictions of revered Italian philosopher and theologian Thomas Aquinas, who wrote around 1250 AD, quote, "Sacred writings are bound in two volumes, volume one, that of creation, and volume two, that of the Holy Scriptures." Or remember the words of the great Galileo in the 17th century, "God is known first through nature, science, and secondly by Christian doctrine," or in the words of 21st century author Barbara Mahaney and her most recent book that we read together last summer, quote, "Through nature, humans can best come to a deeper knowledge of God, for God has infused the natural world with symbol and meaning, and if only we read what's there in the trees and the storms and the stars and the hives, we might more fully comprehend the Creator. Nature itself, science itself, reveals the divine. As the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 1, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made." In other words, science is not opposed to faith in God. In fact, science, a discipline rooted in cause and effect, is increasingly supportive of the probability of a first cause, a prime mover, an entity that initiated the universe. Now, if you're serious about understanding this, then I'll just say please read the newest book by Stephen Meyer, the scientist out of the Discovery Institute in Seattle with a PhD from Cambridge. His book is called The Return of the God Hypothesis, a book that looks at the fossil record and DNA inside the human cell and the Big Bang and how scientists are actually returning to a God hypothesis to explain our universe. And you don't have to read the 100 pages of notes and bibliography at the end. I often think about how C.S. Lewis was an atheist in his early 30s, and one of Lewis's great contributions was how he would come to see and then make a compelling case for believing in God and in Jesus without appealing to the authority of the Bible. Lewis's case for believing in God and Jesus in his books like Mere Christianity or The Weight of Glory, for example, was not from the Bible. He appealed to reason and history and science. And that's one of the reasons I am not an atheist, TNC, is because science actually points most strongly to God. Now, by the way, and this is just an aside, in my opinion, atheist scientists do backflips trying to find a unified theory of everything which would help disprove a God. A hypothesis that can connect all the physics from gravity and general relativity to quantum physics and electromagnetics. And if you ever studied this, string theory or M theory, they require countless dimensions of reality and hyperspace and an infinite number of universes and so much complexity that it seems like they are looking past the most obvious possibility, a God. Further, speaking from science, It just doesn't feel scientific to me to hold that stuff just popped into existence 13.8 billion years ago for no reason. Feels more like its own kind of religious superstition. I believe by faith that matter, heat, energy, neutrons, protons, electrons, gravity, and time just popped into existence from a singular point because it just did. It just feels like a stretch for me. So the first reason I am not an atheist is science. And now number two, second reason I'm not an atheist is because atheism runs into a huge problem with its own logic. Because the atheist will tell you that the material world is all there is because that is all that can be seen or analyzed, which is kind of like a fish in the ocean drawing a wrong conclusion about life outside the ocean, saying, well, there's nothing but water because that's all I can see, feel, taste, test, and operate in. Or as David Bentley Hart, the highly respected Eastern Orthodox writer and cultural commentator, he puts it in this book, The Experience of God, quote, the very notion of nature as a closed system entirely sufficient to itself is plainly one that cannot be verified deductively or empirically from within the closed system of nature. And here's another problem with atheism's logic for me. Atheism almost always includes a belief in the evolution of the species and the idea that your belief in God is simply the remnants of early folly of primitive mind, helpful at one point for human survival, which simply means you can turn that right back on the atheist's argument. Okay, fine, your belief in naturalism is simply the remnant of the early folly of primitive mind. And then one other problem for me with atheistic science is the idea that there is no such thing as free will. One of my favorite atheists is Brian Greene, the American theoretical physicist and mathematician out of Columbia University. I read everything he's written. I love his work, his humor, his wit. I listened last week to an interview he did with Neil deGrasse Tyson, during which he said that humans are, quote, a collection of particles governed by physical law, and you don't control those particles because you don't control Maxwell's equations and Einstein's equations. So, and I'm still quoting, the events of the universe play themselves out in a manner that's dictated by physical law. And that means human freedom of will that we ordinarily feel we have is of a different variety. He goes on, when I lift up my hand, I feel like I made a choice to lift it, but I truly believe that it was the laws of physics that required it to happen, and I'm just observing how my particles are moving. Now, TNC, that just feels to me to be the exact opposite of the way life actually works. And so for me, atheism runs into several huge problems with its own logic, which leads to a third reason I'm not an atheist. Number three, I'm not an atheist because there are a lot of things that are undeniably real that can't be explained by naturalism and that can't be poked and prodded in a lab. David Bentley Hart calls these areas of undeniable reality in the human experience that cannot honestly be accounted for within the framework of naturalism without, quote, considerable contortions of reasoning and valiant revisions of common sense. He goes on, they are essential mysteries that no matter how we try to reduce them to purely natural phenomenon, resolutely resist our efforts to do so and continue to point beyond themselves to what is more than nature. And he goes on to talk about being, consciousness, and bliss. Augustine talked about these in terms of the superior summum meo and the interior intimo meo, beyond my utmost heights and more inward to me than my inmost depths. Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Which is why we have consciousness and why we respond to the beauty of a flower and the majesty of a sunset and the joy of laughter and the innocence of a child and love. You can't put love in a petri dish, but we all know it exists and is real. Philip Yancey has a whole book about these kinds of things, and he just calls his book Rumors of Another World. TNC, I'm not an atheist because there are just too many things that are undeniably real that can't be explained by naturalism, which leads to a fourth reason I am not an atheist. Number four, I'm not an atheist because human beings do have experiences with the divine. In fact, I know well-meaning, grounded, logical folks who have unexplainable experiences, near-death experiences, transcendent experiences, or experiences with the mysterious. And I just don't want to simply dismiss their experiences as, oh, well, you're deluded or having an illusion. That feels arrogant to me. I think again of the writing of Princeton professor of New Testament Dale Allison and his most recent book called Encountering Mystery, Religious Experience in a Secular Age, in which at the beginning he describes his own experiences with mystery. Quote, rightly or wrongly, I believe that I have seen the future on two occasions, once in a dream, once when awake. I believe that I once witnessed a solid object disappear from one part of a room and reappear at another. And on a couple of occasions, I took myself to be in touch with a dead friend. He goes on, I believe not because the Bible tells me so, but because my firsthand experience tells me so, and that events beyond our current understanding do sometimes occur. Now, TNC, that sounds kind of spooky and supernatural, but I'm telling you, Dale Allison is the opposite of a superstitious type. He is well-grounded, well-respected, a historian and a theologian, and he cites polls in his book that ask Americans if they've ever had a religious or a mystical experience, and the results are, yeah, 50% of folks say, yes, I have. He writes about the last words of Steve Jobs, the co-founder of Apple, who at the very end of his life, his family said that Jobs spoke these words as he appeared to be looking past them, experiencing an otherworldly landscape. Quote, Jobs said, quote, oh wow, oh wow, oh wow. And I just don't want to be so arrogant as to dismiss these experiences of others, even if I have not had them. And so I'm not an atheist because I accept many of the stories of so many others, which leads to a fifth reason I'm not an atheist. Fifth, I'm not an atheist because of the Bible's case for cosmic optimism. Let me explain, because here I'm not talking about optimism that you might have for a particular set of outcomes for your kids or for a friend, or with your money, or your occupation, or your health, and on and on. I'm talking about cosmic optimism for your ultimate destiny. I mean, are you optimistic about your ultimate destiny? Because in our day, there's a way of seeing our existence, which feels to me like a very pessimistic perspective, and it's described by atheistic physicists this way: we and all of our lives, contributions, and memories are destined to vanish in the heat death of the universe because the end is coming, maybe 100 billion years from now, but it'll come, the time where there will be a final sentient being who will have a last thought, a final moment of consciousness, and that thought or word will then vanish into silence, along with the memory of all of humanity. Einstein and Eve, Beethoven, Bono, Tom Brady, Taylor Swift, you and me, your family, all of history gone. And what remains will be photons drifting for billions and billions and billions of silent years. And rather than be upset by this, Atheists will say, this should actually be a relief. The death of the future should free us to concentrate on the magic of the moment. We get to experience life and light for this amazing sliver of eternity, and this is a gift, which makes me ask, or at least think, isn't it ironic that atheistic scientists are telling us that the death of the future frees us to focus on the magic of the present moment? Because that sounds kind of spiritual to me. But the great tragedy of this is that it is filled with ultimate pessimism, that not only is existence temporary, but that it's meaningless, because on that day, when the final sentient being has passed away, it will not have mattered at all. Whether you lived with love or hate, in selfishness or selflessness, which means there is not a moral arc of the universe which bends toward justice. And that's just a pessimistic view, TNC, that I just don't hold. I'm more cosmically optimistic, and I choose Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I believe that God, who had the first word on the universe, will also have the eternal word on the universe. In the beginning, God, in the middle, God, especially through the life of Jesus, and one day, new heavens and new earth, and Revelation 22, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea, which is an ancient image of chaos, because chaos is utterly defeated, and no longer will there be any curse, and we will see the face of God, and we will reign forever and ever. And then the angel said to me, John writes, these words are trustworthy and true. And that's the cosmic optimism that Jesus held and taught. And that's the invitation I embrace, that this universe and my existence is not an accident. And we will not blink out into nothingness, but someday we will experience a glorious forever. And that's the faith and hope that I hope we will lean in today, TNC. So, I'm not an atheist because science points to God, and I love science. Because atheism struggles with its own logic. Because there are a lot of things that are undeniably real that can't be explained by atheistic naturalism. Because I know folks who claim to have experiences with the divine. And because I have cosmic optimism, let's pray to the God in the heavens all around us, to the God in whom we live and move and have our being. God, I pray for every person listening, and I pray for their families and their friendships, for their homes and their health and their places of work. I pray for our city and our country and our world. God, will you strengthen our faith today, and will you renew our hope and bring us a peace that passes understanding? Now, TNC, may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen.